Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. It's a Thursday. It is game day in Kansas City. And once again, man, the center of the sports world is right here in Kansas City all day. All day attention. We were at the Royals game the other night, and they were setting up like some of the national stages for DraftKings and these other shows that are going to be out there this afternoon, and of course leading up to kickoff. And we can't let us forget, though, that many, many years we wanted just the showcase games in Kansas City. We get multiple showcase games, and we get the Thursday night opener, of course, on back-to-back years and hopefully for a third straight year, because that's what kicks off tonight, the three-peat campaign, man. You feeling good today?
Yeah.
You got a little red on? You got the Creed is good?
Yeah. I told you. I didn't say I was anti-wearing Chiefs gear on
you
Tuesday.
Ready? Drew's wearing blue. But anyway.
Well, you know. He's a Cincinnati fan.
I was going to say, it's better than me showing up in Bengals gear today, which I was not going to do.
That's tomorrow.
See, there you
Correct.
Go.
Yeah. Out of respect for the Chiefs.
Out of respect.
There's some more energy in the air, not just in the building, but there's more in Kansas City. Like, I feel like everybody's in a little good mood. I don't know about you. I had to get some gas this morning. People are like friendly. Everybody's in a good
you
mood.
You thought everyone was being friendly today?
Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, it's the morning. People, everybody had a little extra energy. Tomorrow morning might be a different story.
Yeah.
It'll be a late
last
night.
Well, it was a late night, and last year, obviously, the mood was ruined relatively quickly due to the fact that Kadarius Toney couldn't hold on to a football. Mm. The only difference for me this year versus last year, and my excitement that football is back, and obviously, who the hell doesn't love that football is back, and that you get the Chiefs game right away, only to enjoy a free, unfettered Sunday as a result of it. The only difference is I wasn't, like, waiting for this for a month. The Royals right. have been carrying me. I've been watching entertaining baseball most, not the last week, but you get the point. And so as a result of that, I didn't have to like build up my hunger for football the same way. So I think it's going to be that like 6 o'clock, right? Is like, it's getting close to like, oh, football's going to be on soon. That's when I think I'll be at my most interested before we get it. But yes, of course, football's back. The Chiefs are two-time defending Super Bowl champions. They're the favorite to win the Super Bowl again. They're the best team in the NFL again. Like, yeah, why am I not going to be excited? They got the best quarterback in the league, the best coach, et cetera.
It hit me a little bit yesterday, but definitely waking up this morning, it definitely hit me that, all right, all the talk and everything like that, the expectations and the questions, and this is a team that doesn't really have that many questions, frankly, heading to the start of a season. Like, all of that doesn't matter here in a couple of hours when they get this thing going. And, you know, the fun of just knowing one way or the other, the overreaction or anything to this evening's game on both sides, for the Ravens,
sure,
for the Chiefs, like, so much is going to be made of this. We all remember, as you said,
they always feeling, make it seem like it's like, oh, this team's gonna do it all.
The feeling after losing to Detroit, we all know that stunk, and then you fast forward and the Chiefs found themselves in a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. So they just remember that. But heading into this one, the reason why there's not, I think, you know, a year ago, there was the almost worry to a certain extent heading in because you knew you didn't have Kelce. You knew you didn't have Chris Jones. And so
sure,
in the back of your mind, even though you were confident, you still knew.
It feels good.
You're like, oh, here, there's honestly, there is nothing surrounding tonight's game that should make you feel anything but excited. because, yeah, Hollywood Brown would be great if he was available, but we've known for weeks now that he wasn't probably going to be available for this game.
Correct.
But all your big stars, really, are ready to roll for tonight's game. And, yeah, it's a rematch of the AFC title game in which you went into their building and beat them, and they're obviously been sulking all offseason over that. Zay Flowers, something he's been dealing with all offseason, the fumble. Like, all of that is a real thing going into this game, but if you're a Chiefs fan, you get to witness a banner go up again at Arrowhead, and that, let's not forget how crazy that is in its own right.
It does look exactly the same, the banner, but it is kind of nuts because we just talked about this. The fandom part of it is just very different. You grew up, I grew up, everybody in Kansas City for the most part, unless your kid's like, I don't know, 10, grew up in an era of football where the Chiefs were the lovable loser, the team you loved, but was never going to give you your dream. You were just going to have to watch them not win a playoff game for like 20 years, then finally get Alex Smith and maybe start occasionally winning a playoff game, but not going deep in it or suffering ultimate defeats. And now what we're talking about is a quarterback who's entering year 8. He didn't start his first year, so he started 7 years. He's been in 4 Super Bowls. He's won 3 of them. He's got 2 MVPs. I mean, just the complete energy around what this team has been in their history versus what they are now brings us back to the pinnacle. And yeah, last night, it's kind of nice to maybe get to stick it to the Ravens again. Last year's game was weird because while they were the defending Super Bowl champions and we felt good, Chris Jones was sandwiched between his two agents. Travis Kelce got hurt 2 days before the damn game. We didn't even know he was dating Taylor Swift yet.
We did not.
It was a whole different world in early September last year. This vibe is completely different. This is one of those, like, why walk in? I'm like, they're the best team. And I think the Ravens are the second best team in the AFC. So this does feel like a foretelling a little bit of what the season's going to feel like. Does it determine all the outcome? No. But last year did too. Last year told you everything you need to know. The Lions are a real player, and the Chiefs have no wide receivers. So while maybe the first 4 weeks of the season are a bit of a liar, it told us two truths, did it not?
Oh, it did. And anytime you come to Arrowhead, though, especially after a season where the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, it's always an opportunity to make a statement. I mean, heck, even when it was in Green Bay last year, it was a statement game for Jordan Love. That the Chiefs are in a spot where we give Drew a hard time about saying it's the Bengals Super Bowl. But like for every team, when they play the Chiefs, it is kind of treated like a Super Bowl because it is an opportunity for them to show how they stack up truly.
Correct.
With the best team in football. And you're right. Heading into the season, when you look how this team is constructed, there is a clear gap in the AFC. Last year, we were like, oh, maybe it's pretty close. Like, even though they were coming off Super Bowl win last year, like, oh, it's pretty close. This year, it is, to me, a wider gap from the Chiefs to, you think it's Baltimore? I would probably agree. Maybe Cincinnati. There's a gap there.
Agreed. And bigger questions for a lot of those teams.
And the Chiefs have a chance, I think, though, in their own right to put a statement out there because, yeah, they're expected to be very good. So a win in its own right maybe doesn't do that. Like, okay, yeah, of course we know. But if the Chiefs offense tonight goes out there, Cody, in a game which they just played the Ravens, they combined for what, 27 points, the Ravens and Chiefs? Like it was a low scoring game.
It was.
And all that. If the Chiefs go out there tonight, of course, in a win, and they put up 30 plus somehow or get close to it, and the offense has the big play potential, even if it's one time, whether it's connecting to Xavier Worthy or whoever, we think it'll be Worthy if they get a deep pass tonight with Hollywood Brown not being available.
Sure.
But if they do that, it does send, I think, a bit of a warning shot to the rest of the league. Not that they're just good. We already know that.
That they're back.
Look out. This offense,
yeah.
You had a chance last year to get them. This offense was 14th in points per game. This year, they're back to being a top 5 offense. The big play potential, yeah, you guys aren't going to be able to come up close to the line of scrimmage. You're going to have to cover your ass on the backside as well. You're going to have to worry about Xavier Worthy going deep. That, to me, is the message they have a chance to send tonight to the rest of the league.
The first 2 weeks of the season, they're at home. They get unlimited rest for the first week, and then they get 10 days rest again at home against Cincinnati, but can take out 2 of the biggest contenders for the 1 seed, for the AFC, whatever. So if they start this 2-0, and I'll remind people the stat I gave you yesterday, Patrick Mahomes is 5-1 in season openers with 295 yards passing and 2.5 touchdowns per game. In those starts, it's actually almost 3 touchdowns per game. It's 20 touchdowns to 1 singular 1 interception in opening games. He's been dominant. He would have been 6-0 in week one games if it weren't for Kadarius Toney's terrible hands last year. And yeah, they are without Hollywood Brown. I'm not going to say that's not an absence. That was supposed to be their number two wide receiver going into the year. And he's a guy who suffered injuries. So you get fearful of any injury that starts a year, even if it's a freak one to start this year with the sternoclavicular, whatever. But still, I just feel so much. I feel better about this year's team than I did going into last year's. Maybe it's because they won two Super Bowls in a row. But fundamentally, well, they lost LeJarius Sneed. They lost Willie Gay. But they're still a really good team.
I think you feel better because you just said it, that Hollywood Brown is hurt. But yet we all still feel really good about the wide receiver room. And I know there was a point during training camp a year ago where we thought it would be fine, too. But this is different. Rashee Rice is a returning receiver, knows this offense. We know that the suspension question is now put off till the end of the season. Right. So you don't have that anymore. He can just go out there and focus on playing football. And he was a 900 yard receiver last year. So that guy's returning. We know that works in this system. It's not we hadn't seen Kadarius Toney have success really in this system heading into week one last year, but people thought it was going to happen and it didn't. We know Rashee Rice has had success in the system. We obviously know Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce, and he's healthy, as you pointed out. So without Hollywood Brown, you still feel way better about the wide receiver room entering this game than you did a year ago, because there's some proven guys in this system out there. Worthy's the question mark, but a question mark in a good way, right? It's the anticipation and the excitement. We're going to talk more about him throughout the show later, a little bit later on when Danan Hughes joins us and get a wide receiver's perspective, as Danan joins us at noon today. But the question mark for Worthy, don't you agree? It's the excitement question mark in a way, right?
Yeah, I think that still, you and I have discuss this, temper expectations almost all the time for rookie wide receivers. If you think he's going out there and having 800 yards receiving this year, you have probably aimed too high. But every third game, can he catch 2 for 65 and one of those was a 50-yard touchdown or brought him down into the red zone? That's what I'm looking for to him. Mecole Hardman's rookie year, maybe 550, 600 yards would feel like a massive win. But he and Hollywood Brown combined change the offense back to what we want the offense to be, which is an offense that goes deep. You and I both know that this offense has gotten closer and closer to the line of scrimmage each of the last 4 years consecutively. And I do not think it's an accident that that's happened in conjunction with none of their wide receivers since Tyreek Hill being a person who spreads the field out. That's not even Rashee Rice's game. Like, Rashee Rice, a really good rookie year. He's a very good wide receiver, and I expect him to have a big season. But he isn't the, I'm going to get the ball 45 yards down the field guy. That's not how he earns his money. And so Xavier Worthy's excitement comes with the fact that, oh my God, maybe the deep passing game will come back. Something I've desperately missed, for being honest. I want to see Mahomes throw 70 yards again, don't you?
I do, and look, tonight, you know there's something. There's something for Xavier Worthy. I don't know if they're connecting on a 60 or 70-yarder, but I'll be honest, the first time he catches the ball, and it's even a 20-plus-yard gain, if that's what, that I think will be a great sign for what the future holds for Worthy and
what's
for
his longest
this
reception prop at tonight? I haven't bet it.
Bet it a week ago, 20.5.
20.5.
I'm on the over. I think Dusty is as well. It's part of a parlay. We'll give our bets in the 1 o'clock hour today, but yes, I am on the over 20.5 for Xavier Worthy.
Okay. I'm just curious. Didn't know what the number was on.
That number sound right, though, like to you? Do you think that's about, I mean, again, it's an unknown because he hasn't played in the NFL yet, but knowing at camp the emphasis right away to get him involved and to test basically the deep passing game, if you will, it was Worthy every single time taking deep shots.
I watched 80% of every training camp this year, and there was not a single training camp practice that went by that the ball did not attempt, at least, to go in the air to Xavier Worthy, I would say in most cases, long past 20 yards, Gold. So I think they'll try it. The question is really, will they complete it? They will absolutely throw a ball that has a chance to be completed for more than 20 yards tonight to Xavier Worthy. 100%, no questions asked. I have zero doubt. I just, you know, will it be complete? We'll see. I like the bet for that reason, sure.
Yeah, Rashee Rice, I think he's around 60.5, 65.5 receiving yards. And you just base it off of Hollywood Brown's tweet. He says to Rashee Rice yesterday on Twitter, his performance will feed families tomorrow. He's feeding your family with his performance tonight, okay?
How's that work? Like, I should bet it so that I can buy groceries?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So how much am I supposed to, like my normal grocery bill, just to be clear,
do that
for the Taft family? I mean, like most people, it might be $150 a week. So you're telling me to feed my family for the next week, I got about 150 yards on Rashee Rice's over?
Just telling you what Hollywood Brown had to say. about Rashee Rice's performance tonight.
Is he telling me to bet $150 in the Chiefs?
He is not telling you to bet. That is what I'm inferring from it. Oh. You know, he's telling you that he's about to have a huge game.
I actually like this. This is the inverse of Rasheed Wallace telling me he needs to feed his family.
Yeah,
he's telling you Rashee will do it for you.
Mm-hmm. 60.5 is the yardage total for one Rashee Rice tonight.
I think he's a 1,200-yard receiver this year, so that's not out of the question.
Over at FanDuel. Then you have the quarterbacks, and we'll talk about Lamar specifically in a second. But for Mahomes, like, this idea, though, that Mahomes has a chance to continue to show that he basically has owned Lamar Jackson, what else does... I mean, aren't we already there, man? Like, he has only lost to him one time, and it was the Sunday night game that you and I have joked about because I was at that game in Baltimore with the Clyde fumble and then walking out of the stadium with the fans mooning my family on the way out. And so it's a game I'll never forget.
Bleak.
It's a game I'll never forget. Since then, they haven't lost. And we all saw in the postseason what the Chiefs were able to do to Lamar Jackson as a whole. So, like, I don't buy this. Mahomes, like, the Mahomes versus Lamar angle, that's not what excites me tonight.
Oh, it's not... Mahomes?
No.
I mean, Lamar's the defending MVP.
No, Lamar is great. I told you, and people did not agree with me on the text line. I think he will be in the Hall of Fame. And people are like, oh, there's no, he will end up in the Hall of Fame. But the build-up to the game, like the promotions of the game will have Mahomes and Lamar highlights. But that matchup, that's not why I'm excited tonight. Like, I've seen Lamar play enough. I've seen how Mahomes matches up in a game against a Lamar Jackson-led offense. It usually results in wins.
Often. But here's the thing, Lamar. So I think they're the second best team in the NFL, as I told you. But the Lamar versus Mahomes part, that can't be a thing until Lamar holds up his end of the bargain. Now, I'll say Lamar Jackson has just as many AFC title game appearances and playoff wins as Josh Allen does. He's got more MVPs than Josh Allen's zero. He's won the division, not as much. Josh Allen does win the AFC East pretty consistently. But Lamar Jackson is a more accomplished quarterback than Josh Allen. But I've seen Josh Allen go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Very rarely is that the case with Lamar. We haven't had this heavyweight bout. I've seen that with Joe Burrow occasionally. I've seen those once. Hell, I've seen it with Justin Herbert. Like, I want to see Lamar. If this is going to be like Lamar versus Mahomes, and I'm going to get back amped up for a postseason game against the two, where it's him versus him for a second straight year, you better start holding up your end of the bargain. This is a massive game for Lamar Jackson from just a confidence-building standpoint. If he is going to turn this into the kind of season he wants to have again and compete for another MVP and compete for another Super Bowl, he has got to get past the single biggest hurdle in his career, which is Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's in the same boat. They could probably sit in a little like kayak together and reminisce about the times they've come up short against Patrick Mahomes. But it seems like it's been particularly bad for Lamar, doesn't it? He still gets a weird rap. He doesn't get mentioned with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen the way he should. Because to me, it's Patrick Mahomes is one. There is no side number. There is no other thing. But right now in the league, I still think Lamar, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen are just two A, B, and C. I think they're the grouping of quarterbacks where if you told me you thought Josh Allen was the second best quarterback, fine.
Yeah, and
Joe wants to tell me it's Joe Burrow, okay. Mac wants to tell me it's Lamar Jackson. Sounds good. I'm not here to have a fight about it or disagree with that notion, but it's still like Mahomes and then the rest of them. Somebody else wants to enter the conversation. Fine.
And that's going to be the case for his entire career. Let's just be honest. So, I mean, that I think is a conversation that we will continue to have. It's basically who is after that. And we all know for many, many years, everybody has thrown out different quarterbacks to be the showdown matchup with Mahomes. It was Mahomes-Jackson. It's been Mahomes-Watson. It's now this year, I'm sure we'll get Mahomes-Stroud. That'll be what people build up. Mahomes and Allen, like Mahomes-Herbert. We've had all these attempts, and I get it. From a promotion angle, that's what everybody's going for on the Sunday night broadcast and Thursday night football and opening night like tonight and everything like that. And it is two-time MVP Lamar versus two-time MVP Patrick Mahomes. Like, that doesn't happen very often in the NFL for an opening night game. And so that is true. I just think because while win-loss is not a QB stat that we bring up a whole lot, but when it's these two individuals and we are talking about like a specific head-to-head type of thing and just seeing what happened in the playoffs, like it's hard for me to specifically get excited about the, like, it's not Mahomes versus Lamar to
no,
me. Like,
it's just Ravens, Chiefs.
The Chiefs, Ravens, the two best
and
teams
Mahomes.
Maybe in the AFC.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know we're going to see something special tonight. Like, we know when Mahomes plays a game, there's going to be something we see tonight that is going to have us probably like laughing hysterically because like, how the hell did he do
He just threw a ball behind his back.
There'll be a play from Lamar Jackson. We're like, oh my goodness. Like, that's what's fun about tonight.
Didn't he catch a pass of himself in that AFC title game?
I think so.
Yeah.
Those are the times.
did it really?
Those are the times that like, those used to be the moments that like burnt the Chiefs. Marcus Mariota would catch it. And then you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this again. Again, I can't keep living this way is what it felt like for the longest time when you were a Chiefs fan. And now it's not like that at all. Life's good. Like they just win championships and stay ahead of these teams. Look, tonight, I expect the Ravens to really try to run the ball. I expect them to be aggressive with that because they screwed that up in the AFC Championship game. Borderline maybe overcorrect for what had taken place before because they might run themselves back into that issue. So, okay, maybe there, maybe one other thing. But I expect the Chiefs to go deep. I expect them to try to flex their passing muscle because what they said last year I think will be the theme for the regular season this year. When Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Creed Humphrey and whoever came on this show all told us that last year's regular season wasn't fun, I don't think they want to feel that way again, Gold. I think they want this regular season to be fun, to score points, to go up and down the field, to be aggressive. And I expect them to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about sending a message to the league. It's not to show that you're still good. We all know that. Everybody in the league knows that. They have that respect for quite some time. But it is what you're saying. Like the fun aspect refers to the offense being high-flying again and almost unstoppable at times and doing virtually whatever they want. Like that's the message they have a chance to send. They're going up against, let's not forget, a really good Ravens defense this year. And so that is something that'll be a good test anyway. Like if you were asking to go up against a team to prove that this offense is different, this is a hell of a test for that.
Sure.
To go up against Baltimore. They're not going up against one of the worst teams in the league to start the season. We're like, okay, they put up 32 points or something. And you're like, okay, I need to see it against a better team. This is a great test right away. If the Chiefs are able to show on Thursday night opener like this evening against that defense that they're capable of going 28 plus a game again, that's to me is the opportunity they have and where they could really have everybody tomorrow morning on every national show leading, discussing, oh boy, the Chiefs offense is back. Like that would
prepare
be
accordingly. You're
the
all
story.
Screwed.
And I think that might be the story tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, if the Chiefs drop, and they've dropped plenty of points in openers, they could drop 35 against the Ravens tonight. Our lead tomorrow is going to be like, oh, it's back. We are back.
It's very possible.
No more. Like, did they? I'm not even kidding. How many times did they score 30 points last year? Two, three? I mean, it couldn't have been that many. They scored 23 points a game.
Yeah, I don't know specific point total, but I'll tell you, we were looking at just for the betting show and everything. The Chiefs games in the last 22 at Arrowhead have gone under the number eight. They're 18-4. 18-4 towards the under in the last 22 games at Arrowhead. There have not been many games that have gone over their totals.
They scored more than 30 against the Bears. Remember, they dropped 41 against them. They scored 31 against the Chargers. They scored 31 against the Raiders in the first game. End of list. They scored in the regular season last year, and including the postseason, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. In the regular season last year, they scored 33 times. That's it. This is a team that 5 years ago averaged 34 points per game. And they just didn't have it last year. So many scores, and they're like, oh, the Chiefs got 23 today, or 19, or, you know.
I remember the conversations we had throughout the season. That's why the defense was so important. And it was the fact that they were top two, top three defense throughout last season. But that's why the Chiefs offense was 14th in points per game, because you just laid it out there. Where were their point totals throughout much of the season? But tonight is an opportunity, to say the least. We'll talk throughout the show today. We'll have Dane and Hughes join us a little bit later on. We'll have Paul Charchian join us in the 1 o'clock hour. What Chiefs players and Ravens players, if you're starting your fantasy football leagues tonight, everybody is, right? Who should you put in your lineup? Should you be starting the obvious guys? Yeah, but what about Xavier Worthy? Should you start a rookie in your lineup tonight? We'll get that answer from Paul Charchian a little bit later on.
Are you going to start Carson Steele? Didn't you draft him?
I'm not starting him, but I do have a couple bets for him to get a touchdown tonight.
Okay. But you're not starting him for Guillotine.
Dude, I'll be honest. I have lost track of who's on my teams. I have too many this year.
How many leagues are you
not
in?
Not as many as Charch. We'll ask him. I think he normally has 10, 14, something like that.
14? How many are you in?
Four.
That's it? Including your guillotine leagues?
Four.
That's how many I'm in. I thought your answer was going to be higher
than
that.
One, two, three, four. Five.
You sure it's not five? Okay. I was like, five.
This is the problem, Cody,
I got myself down because I thought four was too many.
You're asking me who's on my team. I mean, we have our listener guillotine league and all that. I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. I did see that people are already upset about the Chiefs' attention. I was like, are we doing this again?
Because
NFL promo, of course, featured Taylor Swift. Of course it was going to. They're trying to get a huge audience for the game tonight. Didn't we go through this last year that, one, it is not her doing. Two, it is not that big of a deal
Correct.
That they show her in promos. Like people need to just get over themselves. Mm-hmm. It is not distracting from the product whatsoever. Did you not enjoy last season in the Super Bowl run because they showed her for 5 seconds? I'll always say, people are complaining about seeing her in a promo or on the sideline or in the suite or whatever, yet they're okay with seeing 85-year-old Jerry Jones stuffing his face. Like, I'd rather see Taylor Swift.
Their job is to get attention for their team, for their league. They are very good at doing that because Taylor Swift is an incredibly popular figure, it turns out. I don't know if you knew this. She's very popular.
That's what I hear.
And so, loser behavior. I'm glad. I hope they show Taylor Swift 50 times in the broadcast tonight. I don't care. She was a good luck charm, hypothetically. She started showing up to the games. Chiefs won plenty of them. She's standing there in the Super Bowl. I saw some loser... This is not you, Drew. It wasn't Drew. I just got to be clear. Oh, but some
Thank
loser
you.
Bengals fan sent out and be like, they only showed the Bengals once in the NFL promo, and they showed Taylor Swift 3 times. Well, how many times have the Bengals stood on a championship Super Bowl field? Zero. None. At least Taylor Swift stood on the field as the confetti dropped.
I mean, Nate Burleson. This was what Nate Burleson had to say, too.
And for all you guys that are in your feelings, give me my
take camera. Several seats.
Get the Nate cam.
Get out of your feelings. Oh,
Sit
you
down.
Upset? You're a little mad because Taylor Swift is in the promo? Who cares?
Yes. Okay. Nobody, Nate.
Wipe the drool off your tank top and put some pants on and get out your mama's basement.
Preach, Nate. Preach.
Whoa.
Keep going.
I don't understand what the big deal
Keep
is.
Keep going.
All right, every other sport. And show celebrities at their games. We show Taylor Swift.
No problem.
You get in your feels.
Yes.
And get out of your feelings,
That's
man,
right.
and watch the game.
So just be ready for. Just be ready.
He gets it. Nate Burleson.
Yeah, just be ready for people to complain tonight. It's stupid. Well, it's not impacting the product at all. I can't wait.
And yesterday, the joking about the Taylor Swift play stuff, it doesn't matter. It's all in good fun. And by the way, to your point, Cody, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year. They shouldn't be in the promo. They
yes.
weren't.
What was the promo going to be of?
Correct.
Joe Burrow 2 years ago?
Jake Browning scrambling to his right. Yeah, the Bengals should not have been in the promo.
All right, coming up next, though, we will talk a little bit about Derrick Henry, but the streak is finally over. Phew. We can all take a deep breath. We'll talk about these Royals now that suddenly feel a little different.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The 2-0 pitch. Fastball drilled. High in the air. Deep to left field. Quan watches it fly. Tommy Pham's first home run as a Royal is a go-ahead three-run shot. What a lift for this Royals offense.
And ultimately, that's what they needed to snap this losing streak. It is over. Jake Eisenberg on the call there. Royals Radio Network right here on 96.5. The Fan, you're home for the Royals. Off day today, but man, what a different vibe. What a different vibe. They would have been losing 8 in a row heading into an off day and all that. It also just makes the Chiefs game tonight feel even better. I don't know about you. Like, just everything can settle down. We can all take a deep breath. We know there's going to be Royals players at the game tonight. We talked to somebody the other day that there's at least, we know of at least 3 different Royals players that'll be in a suite at the Chiefs game tonight. And so it just changes the entire feeling around them, because somebody would have been upset that they were at the Chiefs game or something.
How do you win before you go do what? Live life?
I know. Somebody would have been upset. Like, how dare they live their life and, you know, not be miserable. But because they won, I don't think we're going to have to worry about anybody trying to make that kind of take. So it was much needed. And how about Tommy Pham? Yesterday, you and I talked about him leading off, and normally maybe for a team contending for the postseason, you wouldn't have necessarily predicted that. But since he's been on the Royals, and it's what, a weak sample size of games, basically.
Yeah, roughly.
He gets the home run off yesterday. His biggest hit, obviously, as a Royal by far. And boy, oh boy, do they need it. But he's done a really nice job leading off for this team when they don't have a leadoff hitter, because they've been trying to find that guy ever since Mikel Garcia, unfortunately, got moved out of that spot because he had struggled.
No reason why I thought Tommy Pham was going to work in that role. He was on the street. We talked about him as a potential trade candidate for the Royals at the deadline. The team he ended up with, he didn't even stay with. They had moved on and gone on to different things. But this is the difference between having at least one experienced player who has gone through these kinds of runs before and understands how to maybe help you snap out of them, a guy in Tommy Pham who's been on some playoff contending teams before, versus what you've had. It was a perfect night. For all the, and you and I, you know, like, people are critical, obviously, because you and I were like, hey, relax a little. They do still have a 4.5 game cushion. I can't chicken little this morning if they still do have a position in the playoffs to fight for and that they are fighting for, etc. Because that's how I felt. It felt okay. Now, after last night, 5.5 games up on Detroit, 5.5 games up on the Mariners, 5.5 games up on Boston. So they're, like, just to tie. And a couple of these teams have a tiebreaker against the Royals, so I'll admit that. If the Royals manage to scratch across 500 the rest of the way, and the numbers will change a little bit if it's not, but if they manage to turn 500 the rest of the way, then the team who will have to catch them in order to just get to the same record will have to go 17-5. Let me ask you, those three teams, Gold, do you think they're even capable of it? Do you think Boston or Detroit, or do you think any of those teams are capable of going 17-5? No chance.
No chance, but also, like, there's only one team that has even played solid baseball out of that bunch recently, and it's the Detroit Tigers. The Red Sox are a mess.
They're playing worse than the Royals.
They've lost 5 in a row. The Mariners just haven't been consistent enough. The Tigers are playing really, really good baseball right now, but do we believe they're keeping this up? I don't. The Royals are in a great spot still. They really are. You know, the losing streak, now that they're out of that, and you get the day off. Now the Twins coming to town on Friday at Kauffman Stadium. It's just a whole different feeling heading into that series. And last night in particular, and that's two outings in a row, though, but last night in particular, Seth Lugo, once again, looked like all-star Seth Lugo.
Correct.
In back-to-back outings. He was sensational last night. We talk about stoppers in the rotation. He would have liked to, of course, had it before, got to 7, but he was the stopper last night. Plus, Urseg did his thing in the night. Like, everything went the way you kind of were hoping it would go. I know it's not like they, after that home run, they didn't have a ton of hits after that. They still clearly got to get some guys going.
Who cares? They got pitching.
But
Lugo was
good.
But
when you get pitching, 4 runs will get it done. You're getting that kind of, 4 runs will get it done. And boy, they didn't need that. They didn't need that hit from Tommy Pham. And hopefully it just allows him to kind of cool off a little bit from, in a good way, right? In terms of the pressure and eases things a little bit in the clubhouse.
I think that's got to take, because that's what we talked about. You got to just stop the bleeding so that you can, like, take a breath. What had happened during that stretch was they couldn't even take a breath. They're just getting punched in the gut over and over again. You're like, get in the ring, get in the corner, let him work the ice pack. Like, get a feeling of being normal again for even 5 seconds, and then maybe you can right the ship, get back to where you were, get comfortable again, so that you can start doing the things you did well. What did they do last night? Seth Lugo goes 7 absolutely glorious innings for the Royals in nearly perfect baseball. Urseg comes in and looks like Urseg again. Like, it was, yep. Bubich really dominated. That was the ugliest swing I've seen Stephen Kwan take all year on that strikeout. He struck out twice in a game. Do you know how often Stephen Kwan strikes out twice in a game? It's like 4 times all year. It doesn't happen. So the pitching did what they were supposed to do. Bubich made him look bad. Urseg looked good. Lugo was great. And Tommy Pham, just some different hero. That's what we talked about. Anyone else coming through to help you win one game is what it was going to take to feel good again. So,
and then Robbie Grossman, his first game too, comes up with a nice hit.
What a weird grouping of players right now. Do you know? I mean,
they were all on the White Sox together at one point, right?
But 2 weeks ago, We weren't thinking about Tommy Pham or Grossman or Gurriel or like what is this collection of players that now all of a sudden we're counting on?
Injuries have made it somewhat of a necessity. They had to go out and make moves. And once again, we've seen the front office and ownership from their actions in the offseason to their actions after the Vinny injury that they were going to continue to be aggressive. And they made the moves that you could make given the time frame. I mean, past the trade deadline. So, I mean, they made the moves that were actually possible, and they made the most of it. And so far, Tommy Pham, he helped them win a baseball game last night.
He did. He's the single biggest reason. Maybe Lugo's the single biggest reason, but
that's why I said help. But yes,
I mean, he's one of the two most important reasons they won a baseball game last night. I don't care about the rest of it or where he ranks amongst it. They just needed it. Like, honest to God, I was pretty nervous. I was sitting on the couch after my kid finished soccer practice last night. I had promised a song for Friday, but we had the game tonight. So I've completed the song, but I was working on it last night being like, oh God, I hope that going into this, it's not an 8-game losing streak. I wanted them to win last night. I wanted to feel better about the direction that this team was going in, that they still had the life. And honest to God, what's funny is, had they lost last night, Gold, we'd have come in here and had to say the same thing. Same spot they were just in, still 4.5 games up in the wild card spot. Now there's only 22 games left. That's the most important thing you need to know about where the Royals are right now, which is how many games are there left and how many games are they still up for these teams to actually make up the difference? Because every day it goes by and there's still the same number of games away, 5% less chance they catch the Royals, maybe more.
Yeah, the math, I mean, that's the whole magic number thing. Like eventually, that's where we're starting to get in that territory. And fortunately, the Royals have ended that losing streak. We'll talk maybe a little more Royals later on in the show. But let's get back to tonight's game, opener for the Chiefs. And on the other side of things, Derrick Henry. We have talked about the lack of rushing in the AFC title game immediately after the game then. And obviously, I'm sure in Baltimore, it's been a huge story. 6 times they ran the ball. Now they go and they acquire Derrick Henry. He's their lead back. And they don't have Gus Edwards anymore. They don't have J.K. Dobbins anymore. It is Derrick Henry. And that's who they're going to rely on. And he had an unbelievable career. But just like we question any player that starts to get a bit older, is Derrick Henry still going to be Derrick Henry? And that's the opportunity he has and an opportunity that the Ravens have tonight. Plus, on the flip side, I want to see what the Chiefs' rush defense looks like. We know the defense as a whole was great last year. I mean, great.
Couldn't be better.
If there was any area other than forcing turnovers that you could nitpick on, where was it? Rush defense.
Yeah, people could get him a little bit on the ground.
Yards per carry, I think 8th most yards per carry or so they gave up. And some of that was because they were so good in the secondary that teams were running the ball a little bit more. And that was the one area that teams had success. So tonight, how do the Chiefs stack up against Derrick Henry, who gets what do we think, Cody? 15 carries tonight?
I mean, at least 16, right? Carries? I mean, I think it might be 20.
You think if they do it 20 times tonight, that's definitely is that an overcorrection? Like,
teams do that all the time.
Do you think Baltimore, well, we all think in the AFC title game they should have ran the ball more, but do you think running the ball with Derrick Henry 20 times, is that going to equate to a win for the Ravens tonight?
Not necessarily, but I think it's a good start to getting a win for them. Because of the Ravens and where I think they'll stack up in the AFC, I think this was a phenomenal signing by them. Because it's not just about getting the last life of Derrick Henry. Because if you're already asking, like, hey, will he age? That should have already happened. Derrick Henry, by most running back standards, should already be out of the league. Because most running backs have like a 3-year run of dominance gold and they don't matter anymore. Derrick Henry is built like a school bus. It's going to be awfully hard to think that he's not going to be somewhat good at his job. He's like 6'14", 400 pounds, and runs a 4.440. So, like, he's always going to be a problem. It's hard to imagine the side where he's not at least somewhat dangerous to opposing defenses. I gave you the stat. Yards after contact, Derrick Henry ran for the exact same amount he did last year. The only difference was he was playing behind what I think was the league's worst offensive line. And so he didn't look good anymore. I still think he's really good. And I think they're going to use Derrick Henry. And I think the biggest problem they're going to do gold tonight and what they're going to do all season to teams is they're going to use Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson as a dual running threat. And if you have to make the decision to crash down on Derrick Henry and you guess wrong and he gets the ball, tackling him is going to be a nightmare. And if you try to, you crash down successfully and instead Lamar takes it, what the hell are you going to do? They're going to make you guess in a really bad way on that.
Well, I just think you're going to see way more Lamar under center and play action now that Derrick Henry's back there. And that's going to be really interesting to see tonight in particular. And it's different because we haven't seen Derrick Henry, of course, in this offense. We know what he did in Tennessee last year. I looked it up 7 times last year. He carried the ball over 15 times for the Tennessee Titans. They had Spears there back, and that was just not a good Tennessee team. Will Levis, much different scenario. He's in a much better offense and situation than he was. This is a different Chiefs defense than the last time they faced Derrick Henry, but we all know, whether it was in the postseason or regular season, how did Derrick Henry stack up with some of the same personnel? This is still the same defensive coordinator that they had, so in Spags, but 17 carries for a 115 the last time Derrick Henry ran against Kansas City. Now, that was in, what, week 8 of 2022, all right? But that was the last time. Then you go back to 2021, and he carried about 29 times for 86 yards.
That was just fine. You'll take that every time against Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, no, I think he's getting the ball, you know, 16, 17 times tonight. But the Chiefs have had a game plan for Derrick Henry, though, in a lot of cases, as much of a game plan as you can have. I agree with you that Lamar being the QB and his mobility creates a bigger problem. But we've said it so many times with Spags, man, the adjustments. It would not first drive, second drive of the game, the Ravens might march right down the field, and nobody should panic. Nobody should panic, because we've seen that a lot. And then drive 3, drive 4, and ultimately in the second half, Spags makes adjustments. Nobody's done that better.
Again, we'll see exactly how this plays tonight. Normally, I would make a bigger deal. You and I have talked about this with Justin Herbert or other quarterbacks that didn't have to change, like Goff. Normally, I would be like, I mean, brand new offensive system and, you know, like, is that okay? Are you going to be good with that? But Harbaugh is such a rock there in Baltimore. They seem to just change. They change the way the offense looks just a little bit, plenty of times, and still rack up a ton of wins.
But how willing are they to commit to the game plan? That was the question in the AFC title game. They didn't run the ball. So this go around, I think you're right. Of course, they're going to commit to the run. They have Derrick freaking Henry now. But if the Chiefs offense is what we think they might be again, which is, you know, high powered, big play potential, much like 2022, not 2023, are the Ravens able to stick to it? Like, are they in the second half? If the Baltimore Ravens are really not stopping them, and if Kansas City has, let's say at halftime, let's say, I mean, this is maybe optimistic, too optimistic.
20
let's
points.
Let's say the Chiefs are up 21-10 or 14 at halftime. Are the Ravens willing to stick to that game plan?
But the problem is that when you've got a quarterback as good as Lamar Jackson, you probably do have to alter. The reason why the AFC Championship game still makes no sense is the Ravens had built an entire legacy doing one thing, an entire season doing one thing, built a MVP caliber season doing this thing. And then for no reason at all, it was a close football game. It was a, what was the final score of that game? 17-10?
Yeah, they combined for 27 points.
If you had told me that, well, maybe not because of the way the Chiefs were. Under normal circumstances, if you told me a Chiefs playoff game ended 17-10, I'd have been like, well, that didn't go great for the Chiefs, did it? Because 17?
But last year
that's
was
all
different
it got
with that defense.
Last year was different for that. It was one of the most inexplainable decisions by a coach I can ever think of. They were never down more than a score and just stopped. Stopped running it against the league's best secondary. I do not think Harbaugh had a bad game. Harbaugh made some mistakes. And he did some things he doesn't typically do, which is make some really bad decisions when it came to game planning and play calling and a million other things. And he just decided he was going to let his MVP quarterback get the better of him. But, I mean, against Mahomes? Against Trevor Lawrence? Go nuts. Like, do your best to put your guy against his and see where the chips lie at the end. Not against Mahomes. So tonight, I expect a heavy dose of Lamar, a heavy dose of Derrick Henry on the ground, because I don't think it's an accident that he said he spent the entire offseason losing 20 pounds because he said he felt slow. They want to threaten you at the running position from both sides. They want to damage you that way. Their offense is going back to rookie year Lamar when he took over for Flacco, and you're like, oh, well, this looks different.
Look, and I know there's some rain in the forecast. Maybe there's a chance early on in the game or when people are tailgating and everything like that. But I think tonight's a high-scoring game. Do you guys disagree? I know last year's AFC title game, as we just said, was extremely low-scoring, but I think both these offenses are different. We know the Ravens are going to attack them in a different way. We know the Chiefs should have the ability to attack them in a different way because of Worthy's addition and having a healthy Travis Kelce to start the season, and he was healthy in the AFC title game as well. But that scenario, like, I think we're going to see points. As good as the Ravens defense is, as good as the Chiefs defense we all think is, I think both teams are going to have success moving the ball, and I would be awfully surprised if this game is anywhere near the score, wouldn't you, of the AFC title game?
17-10? Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised. I don't think either defense is quite as good either. And that's, it's just tough because the Ravens built their defense. This is where you get in trouble with Travis Kelce. The Ravens built their entire defense last year behind Kyle Hamilton was a star. He was great. He was making plays. He was causing problems. He was taking the league by storm. He was beating up on teams, Gold, constantly, right? Really picking on them consistently. And then Kyle Hamilton got an AFC title game, and turns out the first ballot All-Pro Hall of Fame tight end can still get you. What's funny is it's not like Kyle Hamilton had he wasn't ever near the play. Go back and watch that touchdown catch from Travis Kelce. Kyle Hamilton's there. It just doesn't stop Travis Kelce from being Travis Kelce. And so if your defense is designed, this is like the Bill Belichick way. If your defense is designed where Aaron Donald or Chris Jones or whoever is designed to take over the game and things flow through them, and then you can't count on that player to do that, well, then you're screwed. And that's what happened. They just got screwed because of that. I expect the Chiefs to win tonight, I imagine we'll give an official score prediction later on in the show.
I already see 913-586-7965 on the text line here on 96.5 The Fan. Someone's predicting Trent McDuffie's first career interception tonight. Well, that'd be a good time for it. We know we had him on during training camp. It's something he is very much aware of. It's something that Steve Spagnuolo has mentioned to him. We acknowledge this defense, I think, during camp. Needs more turnovers this year than they had a year ago if they're going to be a little more susceptible, perhaps, with the number two corner uncertainty. But yes, Trent McDuffie's getting a pick at some point this year. He's not going to go another year in the NFL without a pick, in my opinion. And tonight would be an awfully special time to do it on national television. We talk about his profile and getting more and more respect across the league. Well, everybody is watching tonight.
Yes. I mean, the thirst for NFL fans. They've been sitting around waiting for another football game. Now they still got to watch the Chiefs. If they've been waiting for football games, they only got two football games like 6 months ago. One included the Chiefs. They only got one football game like 6 months ago. It included the Chiefs. They only get one football game today. It still includes the Chiefs. Like, no matter what, you can't escape them.
The Chiefs run the league now, man.
Yeah. If you're one of these fan bases, well, we know this. They're playing on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this year. They've managed to hit six different days of the week. The only day that you can be like, well, let's do, Gold's going to go out on a day, and he'd be like, what day am I safe this year? Wednesday or nothing.
Is that the only
Wednesday night day?
Wednesday night.
That's the only safe day for you. Well, that's also
Wednesday,
like, what are you missing? Some action?
Yeah, I don't need to watch that. Wednesday night, but the Royals might have a playoff game this October. Who knows? But Wednesday nights.
Wednesday day. You Royals feel like they're going to get the
wild card
slot
day
wild
game,
card weekend, yeah.
Like a 3:10 first pitch when they host a wild card. Hopefully,
some of the playoff games started earlier than that. You know that some started like noon.
Okay,
might get one in the middle of the show. You never know.
Okay,
so maybe Wednesday nights though. You're still free after the game.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Especially if they win.
If they lose,
great mood. They
Do
lose.
Do you think that kind of
sours the whole date? Sours the whole date. At least for me.
If it's just one game, what if it's just like game two of the wild card, you know?
Game two, it means they have to win the next day or 2 days after game three. Yeah, I mean,
too much stress.
I'll be honest. My mind will be thinking about game three of the wild card series.
Sports fan, you know?
Gold's trying to figure out the lineup for the next day, you know?
Not the lineup.
Gold's working out the righty-lefty splits.
Who do I run in the bullpen tomorrow? Is it a bullpen game? Is it not a bullpen game?
Who's available? How to approach it, yeah.
You could ask that on the date. Maybe she's got
play Wednesday for Christmas, Cody. You're wrong. So,
Tuesday's the only day they don't play. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go on a date on Christmas Day. Let me
Sorry. Yeah. Tuesdays, you're safe. Did you have big Tuesday plans?
No, Tuesday's usually the take a deep breath day, you know?
Oh.
That's the day where it's like, okay, separate from football for a day.
And go on a date.
Problem solved.
Just not, again, you weren't going to go on a date on Christmas Day? That would be.
Has anybody, honestly, nobody goes on a date on Christmas Day.
Has anyone ever gone on a first date on Christmas? I want to meet the person.
No chance.
There's nowhere to go.
Ended up on a first date.
Everything's closed.
Just going to go to it's Christmas.
A Chinese restaurant?
No, that's Christmas Eve, I thought.
You go to a Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day.
People go both. Okay, that's fun. Yeah. But I guess, go get some wonton soup and some chicken fried rice on Christmas
Day. Like Chinese food.
On Christmas Day for a first date. You better both be from out of town and have no family.
I once sent a friend of ours on a first date on 4th of July to Diamond Club at the Royals game.
Well, 4th of July is
way, didn't work
you
out.
Would admit, 4th of July, not as much of a family holiday as Christmas.
Also, yes. Diamond Club is an exclusive thing.
Now, look, if you got Crown Club tickets like we had the other day, then that'd be a flex on a first date. That set the bar very high.
Nah, it's too high.
It's way too high. I agree. Yeah. I told you this when I had
you gotta set like a normal, like you're a midday radio host. They can't be thinking you got Diamond Club money.
I agree.
For a first date.
When I told you when I worked out in Boise and I had a deal with a steakhouse out there and I got like X amount of money per month or whatever. And so I did go on some dates there, but I was like, man, this person, like I was upfront, like, hey, I get these because this is not how I normally live.
It's I'm not how out I
here
having
I'm not out there normally spending $200 dinners on a weekly basis.
It's the proper approach.
I don't know. You and your wife met at Applebee's.
Well, okay. We met. That was our first date.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on Christmas Day.
No, it was not.
Like, we've talked about it. There's a level. Like, you don't need to go crazy in nice steakhouse, but I'm also not going to Applebee's or Chili's on a first date either. No disrespect.
No, it's fine.
Intended.
Still ridiculous that Chiefs play every day of the week, but Tuesday this year. What a life. Again, this all goes back to the same thing. You're going to watch the Chiefs tonight in a standalone game. You know how many standalone games they play this year? Like half of them. Like half the time, the Chiefs will be the only team on when you're watching them.
And of course, the only place to hear the Chiefs right here on your home for the Chiefs, your home for sports in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. Pre-game coverage starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The countdown is on. The countdown for how things are going to go for everybody else in the NFL is on as well. We'll try to figure out the final four teams. Plus, the biggest question you guys have remaining for tonight's game.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.